ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 25th नेम ग्लोरीज ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस वर्स 31। मैत्रेय उवाच विदित्वार्थं कपिलो मातुरित्थम् जात स्नेहो यत्र तन्वा विजातः तत्वाम् नयाम् यत् प्रवदन्ति सांख्यम् प्रोवाच वै भक्तिवितान योगम्। मैत्रेय उवाच विदित्वार्थं कपिलो मातुरित्थम् जात स्नेहो यत्र तन्वा विजातः तत्वाम् नयाम् यत् प्रवदन्ति सांख्यम् प्रोवाच वै भक्तिवितान योगम्। मैत्रेय उवाच विदित्वार्थं कपिलो मातुरित्थम् जात स्नेहो यत्र तन्वा विजात तत्वाम् नयम् यत् प्रवदन्ति सांख्यम् प्रोवाच वै भक्तिवितान योगम्। मैत्रेय उवाच मैत्रेय सेड विदित्वा हैविंग नोन अर्थम पर्पस कपिला लॉर्ड कपिला मातुहु ऑफिस मदर इत्थम दस जात स्नेह बिकेम कंपैशनेट यत्र अपॉन हर तन्वा फ्रॉम हर बॉडी अभी जातः born tatva amnayam truths received by disciplic succession yat which pravadanti they call sankhyam sankhya philosophy pravacha he described why in fact bhakti devotional service Vitana, spreading. Yogam, mystic yoga. Translation. Sri Maitreya said, after hearing the statement of his mother, Kapila could understand her purpose and he became compassionate towards her because of being born of her body. He described the Sankhya Yoga system of philosophy, which is a combination of devotional service and mystic realization as received by disciplic succession. So there is no purport. I'll go on to verse 32. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Devanam Guna Linganam Anusravika Karmanam Sattva Avaika Manaso Vritti Svabhavika Tuya Animita Bhagavati Bhakti Siddhir Garishyasi. Translation. Lord Kapila said, the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods. And their natural inclination is to work under the direction of Vedic injunctions. As the senses are representatives of the demigods, so the mind is the representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind's natural duty is to serve. When that service spirit is engaged in devotional service to Personality of Godhead without any motive, that is far better even than salvation. Purport. The senses of the living entities are always engaged in some occupation, either in activities prescribed in the injunctions of the Vedas or in material activities. The natural inclination of the senses is to work for something, and the mind is the center of the senses. The mind is actually the leader of the senses, therefore it is called Sattva. Similarly, the leader of all demigods who are engaged in activities of this material world, the sun god, moon god, Indra and others, is the supreme personality of Godhead. It is stated in Vedic literatures that the demigods are different limbs of the universal body of supreme personality of Godhead. Our senses are also controlled by different demigods. Our senses are representations of various demigods, and the mind is the representation of the supreme personality of Godhead. The senses, led by the mind, act under the influence of the demigods. When the service is ultimately aimed at supreme personality of Godhead, the senses are in their natural position. The Lord is called Rishikesha, for He is actually the proprietor and ultimate master of the senses. The senses and the mind are naturally inclined to work, but when they are materially contaminated, they work for some material benefit or for the service of demigods, although actually they are meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are called Rishik, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Rishikesha. Indirectly, all the senses are naturally inclined to serve the Supreme Lord. That is called Bhakti. Kapila Dev said that when the senses, without desire for material profit or selfish motives, are engaged in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in devotional service. That spirit of service is far better than Siddhi, salvation. Bhakti, the inclination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in a transcendental position far better than Mukti or liberation. Thus, Bhakti is the stage after liberation. Unless one is liberated, one cannot engage the senses in the service of the Lord. When the senses are engaged, either in material activities of sense gratification or in the activities of Vedic injunctions, there is some motive. But when the same senses are engaged in service of the Lord, there is no motive. That is called animita and is the natural inclination of the mind. The conclusion is that when the mind, without being deviated either by Vedic injunctions or by material activities, is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is far better than the most aspired for liberation from material entanglement. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinamandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshitarine. Seeking the blessings of all devotees to speak on this chapter, which is Glories of Devotional Service. Now this is a reply which Lord Kapila is giving, which we are hearing from many verses and many days, when his mother is asking him to enlighten her in the science of bhakti, or what needs to be done by her. Especially she is asking, what specific type of devotional service you want me to do? And now he is explaining, and he is very specifically talking about bhakti. If you go through the verses, almost all the verses he is using the word bhakti or bhaktya, where devotional service is very prominent. So this particular chapter is very, very important, because even Srila Prabhupada spoke almost for 25 days on this chapter, and that's where the teachings of Lord Kapila, that book, has come about, which is all lectures and discussions of Prabhupada on this particular chapter. So this particular verse number 32, is giving a nice explanation. A comparison is given, where the senses are compared to the demigods and the mind is compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are naturally engaged according to the desires of the mind. And senses are under the control of the mind. No one can say, my mind was not willing to do it, but my senses are willing to do it, do certain things, and my senses, they overpowered the mind. It doesn't happen. Mind is weak, so senses they demand, and mind just approves it. Mind just follows the demands of the senses. Similarly, the comparison is that the demigods who are working under the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also working as on his instructions, which is to take care of this cosmic manifestation, this material creation. So here, because of this comparison which is given, Srila Prabhupada in the purport writes that senses are called Rishi. And the Supreme Lord has a very wonderful name, Rishikesha. So, if the senses are there, and the only way which scriptures are prescribing or explaining or practically canvassing to us to control the senses is when they are engaged in the master of the senses. And we've heard it many times. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevana, Bhakti, Ruchate. So once the senses are engaged in the master of the senses, which is the Lord Himself, then there is some possibility to control these senses. But Prabhupada takes this purport further. He mentions that, actually in his lecture also, it's recommended that, it's a very amazing lecture Prabhupada gave on this verse. It's in Mumbai in 1974. It's a must hear or read. There is a transcription also for that. So many points Srila Prabhupada has touched from this particular verse in his lecture also. In that lecture also, Srila Prabhupada talks about how for there are many people who are following many different type of processes, whether it's yoga, jnana, or whether it's Buddhism, where the ultimate goal is nirvana, or in personal philosophy, where the goal is Brahman nirvana. What they are trying to achieve is through the senses and through the mind, they are trying to work in a way that they become, the senses are not anymore engaged in sense gratification. Rather they are, taking example of Buddhism, their goal is nirvana, where there is no desire. So senses and the mind doesn't desire anything. So that is nirvana. One becomes desireless of anything, which actually doesn't happen or cannot happen. But Prabhupada explains in his lecture that Lord Buddha gave this philosophy and he stopped there itself. He didn't go beyond explaining what to do after you're desireless on material scale. What to do after that. And he said, then Shankaracharya took it further. He said, okay, now you're desireless. Now you have no more material desires. Now enter into the Brahman effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti, and you also merge with God and become God. And he stopped till there. So that is Brahman Nirvana. And then once Shankaracharya's philosophy was established, then so many Vaishnava scholars came and who explained that once you have attained the Brahman Nirvana, once you have attained the Brahman effulgence, then go there and do some service for the Lord, which is engaging in devotional service of the Lord. So that is bhakti. So that gradation Prabhupada is explaining in that through that, the final destination, one has to come to the platform of doing devotional service or engaging the mind and senses in active engagement in service of the Lord. Otherwise, he very specifically speaks in that lecture that Lord Buddha didn't give beyond that. He just stopped there. Then Shankaracharya didn't give beyond it. He stopped there. And then through Bhagavad Gita and through many Vaishnava Acharyas, we got the final destination of mind and senses, how they can perfectly or purely be engaged. There he speaks on engaging the mind and senses in devotional service of the Lord. So, in that same lecture, actually next purport also Prabhupada talks about a very great saint, Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Because for most of the spiritualists, the journey they take is, not even spiritualists, those people who are practicing religion to whatever degree, is of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So, you perform some religious duties and then you earn your livelihood. That is Vedic culture. It's not happening now. Once Devanand Swami was explaining at the retreat at our Hare Krishna Valley that previously the way was through dharma they would get artha. By authorized religious practices and by authorized work which will not be sinful in reaction, or which is not like Prabhupada used that term for what is that? For factories and all, he used a term. Ugra karma. Yes, thank you. That not no ugra karma. So through dharma, they will earn artha or wealth. And because that wealth, that artha is earned based on some religion, some religious practices or some religious mindset, then when they engage in karma, in sense gratification or in family life, they don't forget the goal, which is liberation after that, which is mukti. But anyways, that's even far gone. No one even thinks about that. Now dharma is gone and mukti is gone. Only artha and kama is there. And that's where we are at this stage, because of only having artha and kama. And because of no dharma, there is no concept of mukti also. But Prabhupada is not even talking about that. In this verse, Lord Kapila is smashing. He's using very nice term. He's using one word, that last two lines, Animita Bhagavati Bhakti Siddhar Gariyasi. Siddhar Gariyasi. This Animita Bhagavati, this devotional service to the personality of Godhead, which is Animita, that means there is no material desire at all. There is no material motive to perform that service, is Gariyasi, far better than Siddhe, which is salvation, which is mukti. And on that basis, Prabhupada gives an amazing example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, which is mainly in next purport he talks about that. But in his lecture, he speaks about Bilwa Mangal Thakur on this verse. I'll very briefly touch on Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Now, Bilwa Mangal Thakur was most of us, we know the story, but I'll quickly go through it. He was a very, very rich man. Very, very rich man's son. And in his previous life, he was a very good devotee. Prabhupada in his lecture, he says that he was up to the stage of Bhava Bhakti in his previous life. So next life, his guru, to give him the final blow or the final push to achieve his destination of love of Godhead, love for Krishna, his own spiritual master came as a prostitute whom he was attached to in his life as Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur, crossing all the difficulties, one night reached the prostitute. And prostitute rebuked him. She chastised him. That what type of intense attachment you have for me? If the same attachment is placed in serving Krishna or in searching for Krishna, you will attain perfection. And that was like a switch on for Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And he starts walking towards Vrindavan, where Bilwa Mangal Thakur... On the way, he plucked his eyes because he thought his eyes are a distraction for him. Sometimes many devotees, even I have also a few times thought, not for plucking eyes, but some devotees told me, Prabhu, this internet is a problem. I'm going to buy a Nokia 1100 so that no more internet, you know, it distracts you. And the only thing you can do from Nokia 1100 maximum is you can play snakes, that game, which is distraction. Maximum you can do call and message and play snakes. Even that time it was also distraction. It would take 2-3 hours when that phone was available. So mind will get distracted. Doesn't matter what you have. Now iPad, iPhone, everything is a distraction. Especially YouTube. You open one video, then another video. The purpose is lost. Then after 3 hours you realize, oh, I was watching something else. And I came to something else. Which is always very useless, what you're watching. So, which you end up with. So, Bilwa Mangal Thakur plucked his eyes out. This is with a disclaimer. Do not try at home. And for 700 years, he lived in Vrindavan, 700 years. And he wrote amazing literatures, amazing poems. And Krishna Karnamrita, one of the amazing works he did, wrote. In that he writes this verse, which is 107th verse, where in one of the lines he says, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjale Sevatesman. He's saying, because I have developed devotion for that Supreme Lord, because I have seen you, O Supreme Lord, in his young boy form, which is Keshavara form. Now, because of my attraction, my devotion for you, my Lord, I have gone beyond this mukti. And now she is standing outside at my doorstep and requesting me, please engage me in your service. Like liberation is requesting Bilwa Mangal Thakur, please engage me in your service. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur is saying, I'm not interested in this dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Because I've seen you, the young boy, Krishna form. So that is, Prabhupada is using that example that to say that how bhakti or devotional service is far beyond mukti or liberation. And that is animitta. One should not have a motive of liberation even while performing devotion. It may come, it may not come. That devotion or mukti. So, because most of the people, like many, we have heard these things many times, but for most of us, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four types of people approach me. One who are distressed, one who are in need of wealth, one who are inquisitive, and one who are really after knowledge of God, who God is. But majority of the people are in first two categories. Either they are super distressed, which most of us were at least, and in need of money. There are people who doesn't care about money, they don't give too much value of money to money. But distress they are distressed, fully distressed. So with that distress mentality, when someone approaches God or religion in any faith, in any tradition, then after so much of painful life, after so much of distress, so much of anxiety, so much of sinful reactions which one is receiving, and there is suffering in their life, then the only solace they feel while practicing any spirituality or type of spirituality or any religion is that my destination will be a peaceful destination where no more misery is there. There is no more suffering. And that is the mindset of getting liberation. That I'll get liberated from all this material anxiety and material pain. Because I'm suffering so much. Whereas, if we see the life of Acharyas, life of Srila Prabhupada, the concept of peace is not even there, at least externally. The peace is somewhere within, which many of us do experience sometime, but not every time. So, in this same purport, in the same chapter, in the same lecture which Prabhupada gives, he further explains, he gives a very nice explanation that how people are, people think that if I am not doing sense gratification for me, then I am a good person. But if my sense gratification is for the community or is for the nation, that is very great. And it is the highest human welfare one can do. Like many politicians, they work hard for their countries, for their nations. Many people are working hard for their nation, for their community, for the society. But it is sense gratification. And Prabhupada gives a nice example. He says, like, of Alexander and a beggar. Once a beggar was caught by Alexander. And beggar was called in the court of Alexander, and the beggar came in, and Alexander said, you should get punished because you are a thief. And the thief was very bold. He said, if I should get punished, then you should also be punished. He said, why? He said, I am a small thief, you are a bigger thief. A thief is a thief. Doesn't matter. We both are thieves. And because Alexander was little wise, he released the thief understanding the yes. You are stealing small thing, I am stealing big thing. You know, that's why it becomes sometimes parents' responsibility when a child is there and they should be corrected because they just stole a rubber or a pencil or a pen from school. And they should be chastised or corrected because that same mentality can go up to a bank robbery in future or it can develop. Because this is a mentality which Prabhupada is speaking on in that lecture, that the mentality of enjoying the senses is the defect which Bhagavatam is smashing. And the mentality which Bhagavatam is practically installing in us, it's pushing forward, is that the senses of Krishna must be pleased, or through devotional service. Because through that animita type of devotional service, bhakti can develop to the highest stage. So today is a very special day because it is a disappearance day of three very great personalities. It is not special because they disappeared, but it is special because they left great lineage and teachings behind them to follow. So the three great personalities are Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So first two are Raghunath Das Goswami and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. They are amongst the six disciples, six Goswamis of Vrindavan, which we all know, Chhat Goswamis. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is the disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami, who compiled Chaitanya Charitamrita, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. So little bit I would like to discuss about Raghunath Das Goswami today, especially because he is such an amazing personality. Is there a hissing sound coming? Can you reduce the sound? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he is Acharya of, is a Prayojana Acharya. Like there is Krishna Sambandha, that we have a relationship with Krishna. And then there is Bhakti Abhideya. The process to attain Krishna or love for Krishna is through Bhakti, which is Abhideya, the process mentioned. And the Prema Prayojana, the result, the final goal, the destination is love for Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami, through his life and his teachings and his mood, he displays that love for Krishna, but very specific way that will come, we'll discuss soon. So starting with his life, Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a massive wealthy family. He was a multi-millionaire. Can be multi-billionaire also, very difficult to calculate the wealth they had in today's comparison, because it was almost 500 years back. He was son of Govardhan Majumdar, and his uncle was Hiranya Majumdar. They were Vaishnavas, they were devotee families, but landlords, rich merchants, zamindars. So massive wealth was there. Just a comparison to how much wealthy he was, that their yearly income, by collecting whatever taxes and all, was another means, whatever income they had was 800,000 rupees, almost 500 years back. So which is practically nothing, you know. If you see $16,000, it is $16,000 yearly. If you see now, the $16,000 is nothing for now if you compare. But that time, that meant that 800,000 rupees yearly income means with 1 rupees, you could purchase 650 pounds of rice. How much is pound in kg?
300,
more than 300 kg. No, it's pound is bigger, no? Pound is smaller. Okay, so 300 kg. 300 kg of rice in 1 rupee. That means Now in 1 rupee, you can get maybe 5 to 7 grams of rice. So that is the value, just to give an idea. Dollars we can't calculate because its cents are not available for 1 rupee and all that. So very, very rich, massive rich, so much wealth. So they had a family guru, Jadunandan Acharya, who was on the other side of Ganges. And Raghunath Das Goswami was born in Krishnapur. So he was very young when there was a meeting arranged by Jadunandan Thakur, Jadunandan Acharya and his brothers, where Haridas Thakur was called to come and speak on glories of the holy name. That's a separate pastime. That is the first time when Raghunath Das Goswami met Haridas Thakur, and that was a life-changing experience for him. He was so much impressed by Haridas Thakur's devotion, by his sincere attraction for the holy name, that there was such a strong impression on him, his mind, that he wanted to also follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur and chant and absorb himself in serving the Lord in that way. But he was very, very young that time. So then Lord Chaitanya took sannyas during that period, and he was going to Vrindavan, but he was detoured by his disciples, and he came through Shantipur. And that was the first time when Raghunath Das Goswami, he met Lord Chaitanya at Shantipur. And when he met Lord Chaitanya, he was no more the same person. He had already decided to this is the goal, this is the future I want to do, this is what I want to do in my life, to just fully serve the Lord. And because his parents were Vaishnavas, and they were very charitable, they would organize feasts for the devotees, they would give they would fund many of the programs for the devotees. So Raghunath Das Goswami got special favor because of his parents to do menial services to Lord Chaitanya when he was there in Shantipur first time. So after Lord Chaitanya left, he was convinced, I don't need this lifestyle. And he tried to run from his family life, not family life, but from his home. And every time he would run, his parents would send guards to bring him back. And that was almost a daily affair that would happen. They appointed 11 guards on Raghunath Das Goswami, out of which 4 were his personal servants, 5 were the watch guards, and 2 were the brahmanas. And everyone had one thing in mind, to make sure he doesn't run away. That was Raghunath Das Goswami. And he would run again and again. Even his mother once commented that, and because at a young age he was married, you know, many people, especially we are in Brahmachari Ashram, we hear that a lot by our relatives, that if someone is trying or has a desire to join ashram, then relatives or parents will say, quickly get him married. Because once he's married, then he's attached. Then no more ashram business. Then the game changes. So same funda they did also for Raghunath Das Goswami. He was at a very young age, he was married. And he was married to one of the most beautiful girls. Literally, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that his opulence was like of Indra, of King Indra. He was so rich. And his wife was as beautiful as Apsara. Very, very beautiful. So his mother once told his father that every time he's running, it's too much of a headache, you know, we don't know when he'll run. Why don't you bind him? Why don't you just tie him and keep it at home? And father was a Vaishnava, so he understood, but still he was attached. So he said, if a beautiful wife like this, and so much wealth, and so much of affluence, so much of opulence, so much of name fame cannot bind him, what can these ropes do? But still he was attached, and still he would stop him. He said, he has got mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Very difficult to stop him. So, that was, Raghunath Das Goswami heard that Lord Chaitanya is coming again through Shantipur. So he had a very strong desire, so he forced his parents, and parents sent guards with him, and there he went and met Lord Chaitanya again, where Lord Chaitanya assured him that don't show Markat Vairagya, renunciation of a monkey. A monkey is also naked, and a Naga Baba or a Naga Sage, they're also naked, they roam around to show their renunciation. But monkeys are always thinking about female monkeys. So don't show such type of renunciation where you're just faking it. When time will come, Krishna will give his mercy and you will be released from this family life. So then across the Ganga, Lord Nityananda came and he was doing a festival which was Paniyati festival. And he heard about it, Raghunath Das Goswami, and with his guards he went to see Lord Nityananda. And from a distance, he paid obeisances to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda knew, because he is Supreme Lord, he called Raghunath Das Goswami and he said, "You come here, you are a thief." He said, "Why am I a thief?" He said, "You are stealing, you are paying obeisances from distance, come closer to me. And now because you have stolen, you have a punishment. The punishment is, you have to feed all the Vaishnavas there. So that's the punishment you have to pay for now, because you stole the mercy." And then Raghunath Das Goswami became very happy that he has to feed all the Vaishnavas. And then he started feeding all the Vaishnavas there. And Lord Nityananda came in a mood of cowherd boy, where he's in the forest and enjoying the feast, lunchtime feast. That he prayed and he called Lord Chaitanya also to appear in his transcendental form. And Lord Chaitanya appeared and accepted the feast. And that time Lord Nityananda told Raghunath Das Goswami, In public, he told all the devotees that please bless Raghunath Das Goswami so that he can achieve his heart's desire of giving a family life and achieving the service of Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Nityananda told him that now all devotees have blessed you. Now I'm telling you, soon that time will come. You just be patient when you will be able to escape from family life. Don't rush now. And then soon after, Yadunandana Acharya, his family guru, had some work to be done, and he asked Raghunath Das Goswami to help him. And Raghunath Das Goswami saw that as an opportunity and he ran in the night. And he didn't go through the main roads, he went through the forest. And for 12 days, he non-stop ran. He only stopped for 3 times, that also if someone stopped him to give him something to eat. In 12 days, he stopped only 3 times. He was walking fast, he was just running. He wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And he was completely emaciated when he reached Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya saw him and he was so happy meeting Raghunath Das Goswami. That Lord Chaitanya said, "Now Krishna has shown his mercy on you. Krishna is very, very merciful unto you that you are released from the family bondage." And Raghunath Das Goswami straight away said, he said, I don't know Krishna's mercy. I only know you. And it is your mercy I could escape. So now you engage me. And then Lord Chaitanya was so pleased by him and he was so dear to him that Lord Chaitanya appointed him under his own secretary, which was Swarup Damodar Goswami. And for 16 years thereafter, Raghunath Das Goswami stayed in Jagannath Puri, witnessing and experiencing Lord Chaitanya's pastime under Swarup Damodar Goswami. He was like personal servant. You know, many personal servants of Prabhupada come and they say he used to take massage like this and he used to speak like this, and when guest would come, if he doesn't want to meet, that's how he will act. If he wants to meet, that's how he will act. And so many inside details which we can't find out from other devotees. So Raghunath Das Goswami under Swarup Damodar Goswami was experiencing that. And Govinda was also there. They would arrange Mahaprabhu's prasad, his clothes, his travel, everything. So then Lord Chaitanya disappeared. He left this planet, and Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarup Damodar also left after Lord Chaitanya. And Raghunath Das Goswami said, "That's it. No more use for me to live now. No point me living because Lord Chaitanya is gone and Swarup Damodar is gone, and they are my Lord and Master. Both are gone. So I don't need to live now. I'll go to Vrindavan. I'll climb Govardhan and I'll jump and commit suicide." So he went to Vrindavan, Govardhan. So just one very quick pastime about his renunciation. When he was in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya, many of you must have heard that first his parents would send him big money. That anyways you're not coming to to keep you peaceful, to keep you satisfied, or to keep you comfortable, take this money. And he would take the money, and for 2 years, what he would do, that every month the money would come and he would do 2 grand feasts to serve Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased by that. And he would not take a single paisa, a single cent for himself. And he would distribute all. For 2 years he did that. And then he suddenly stopped. And then Lord Chaitanya asked why he stopped. And Swarup Damodar said that he stopped because he's thinking that because of him, you are forced to eat food coming from a family person's wealth. Just to keep Raghunath Das Goswami happy. So Lord Chaitanya then asked where he is. Then he was begging in front of the Simhadwar in Jagannath Puri. And then he stopped that also after some time. And then when they asked where is Raghunath Das Goswami, then he would go and eat food which the shopkeepers after few days, after it's rotten, they throw in at one corner where cows would come and chew and eat and choose. And whatever was chosen by cows and they ate and then they rejected. And then he would go and then he would wash that grain by grain and put some salt and he would eat that. So that type of renunciation he was displaying. So when Lord Chaitanya heard and he went to see him and he said, I want to eat that. What you are eating. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, Mahaprabhur Bhaktagan Bairagya Pradhan Ehi Dekhe Priti Hoi Gaura Bhagavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees are Pradhan, are very great in renunciation. But that renunciation is not the renunciation in terms of detachment from material world is not their greatness. That renunciation, the greatness of that renunciation is that it is completely in attachment to Krishna. And that's why to imitate such powerful personalities can be very, very dangerous. Because they are fully attached to Krishna and then they display such renunciation. For us it is hard to eat, yeah, Yukta Vairagya, to eat leftover prasad from one day. It's hard, we just can't do it. Because already so many options are there, next day Puri Sabji is ready. So who will eat or throw it? We all do that, I do at least. So, Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased, the amount of renunciation, the level of renunciation Raghunath Das Goswami was showing, which was not dry, but which was in complete attachment to Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar left the planet and he went to Vrindavan to commit suicide, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were there. And they convinced him that you are the only one left who witnessed Lord Chaitanya's pastime so closely. And you have personal diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami which he was making notes about Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Hariswari Prabhu writes, he has diaries about Prabhupada and they would make notes. Sutakirti Prabhu would make notes about Prabhupada's life because memory, so they would write everything great personalities they do. So, and that becomes a biography. So many books of Prabhupada's Leela has come. So similarly, he was the only one left with notes and with who was hearing and witnessing directly the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And they convinced him and he agreed. And for 3 hours every single day, for years and years and years after that, Raghunath Das Goswami would recite Lord Chaitanya's pastime. And all the Goswamis would hear. Years and years after that. So his level of renunciation even became more intensified to a level that his routine was he would chant 64 rounds every day. He would pay 1,000 obeisances to Krishna every day. And he would pay 2,000 obeisances to devotees every day and embrace them. And it was not ritualistic, it was completely through his heart he's doing it. Then he would sleep only 90 minutes in one day and sometimes even that he will not do. Then he would do his Manasa Puja, which is worshipping the Lord in his Siddhadeya, in his spiritual form, in his mind. So that all he was doing. So that was his daily routine, Raghunath Das Goswami. And then once amazing pastime happened where Sanatan Goswami witnessed it, because he went and he started residing near Radhakund and Shyamkund. And Radhakund and Shyamkund that time were not at all developed. They were just paddy fields, and some water was there. It was not developed, whereas Lord Chaitanya had a desire to excavate the holy places in Vrindavan and develop them so that pilgrims can come in coming future. So we all go now there, we see a Radhakund in nice rectangular shape, and then Shyamkund is also there. So he was doing his bhajan there, and Sanatan Goswami experienced, these are two incidents are mentioned, that Sanatan Goswami experienced that there was a massive tiger who was just drinking water next to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami doesn't even know, and he's just chanting, he's absorbed in his bhajan. And in between them, Krishna is standing with a stick. So Sanatan Goswami, this one thing he experienced, and he was surprised. And he wanted Raghunath Das Goswami to do something about it. Then another time he experienced that it was midday, and North India, it gets very scorching hot in middays. And in midday, he's just sitting right under the sun, and he's doing his bhajan. And Sanatan Goswami saw that Radharani, she herself is sweating, but she is keeping her sari to cover Raghunath Das Goswami from, she's covering Raghunath Das Goswami from the sun. Very hot sun, actually. And Sanatan Goswami then became upset. He said, now you have to construct a kutir, a hut for yourself, because how can you take service from Radha and Krishna every time? So then Raghunath Das Goswami made a hut, and he, in his heart, he had a very strong desire, even though he didn't act on that, to develop and to construct a proper shape of Radha Kund and Shyam Kund for pilgrims to come, because it is just a forest. Difficult to even imagine. If you think about Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, only buildings come in your mind, everywhere. But imagine a forest there, and just some two paddy fields, Shyam Kund, Radha Kund. So there was a wealthy merchant who was going to Badrinath. Badrinath, he was going. He was in Badrinath, who wanted to donate a large sum to Lord Badrinath. And Badrinath is far, far up in north, in Himalayas. If someone has gone to Rishikesh, it is even 350 kilometers up the hill from Rishikesh, Badrinath. Massive, very, very far. So Lord came in the dream of that merchant and told him, you go back and you give all this money to in Vrindavan, in Govardhan, to Raghunath Das Goswami. He wants to build Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. So then that merchant came, and he came and he gave the money, and Raghunath Das Goswami constructed a rectangle Radha Kund, and he wanted to have a rectangular Shyam Kund also. But there were five trees which those who were constructing, building the Kund wanted to cut. And that night, Raghunath Das Goswami saw Yudhishthir Maharaj in his dream. Yudhishthir Maharaj appeared in his dream, and he requested that we five brothers are in the form of these five trees and are meditating on eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So please don't cut us. So if you go to Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, which is together, Shyam Kund is not in a proper shape because of those trees, whereas Radha Kund is in proper rectangular shape. So this was Raghunath Das Goswami. There's so many pastimes where Govardhan comes in his dream because someone had hit while digging Radha Kund, and that was tongue of Krishna, which is Govardhan, and then he established that. Now also the temple is there where that Govardhan Shila is worshipped. So very powerful personalities. One very interesting paragraph I'll read from his book, Vilapa Kusumanjali. It's a collection of his intimate prayers that shows his mood, even though it is very difficult for us to understand. He says, my life is worthless. I will give it up without receiving your mercy. He's telling this to Radharani. I will give it up without receiving your mercy. Living in Radhakund and Vrindavan is meaningless to me. To say nothing of Vrindavan, even Krishna himself is useless to me without you. He's telling, very difficult to understand. We get confused, you know, why he's speaking like that. O Srimati Radharani, you are the only object of my life. Please be merciful to me. Crying profusely in great lamentation, I hold your lotus feet to my heart and beg for your loving service. May this Vilapa Kusumanjali, which is his book, bring even the slightest satisfaction to you. So because of him, because he established the supremacy of devotional service to Radharani in Braj, and that's why he is known as Prayojana Acharya, or because love for Krishna is through Radharani. And he was such a attached, he was Manjari in his eternal relationship with Radharani, who was a maid servant of Radharani. His name was Rati Manjari. He was in Radharani's team. And then he would drink only buttermilk, made of in 1 cup buttermilk made of by leaves. And once his disciple, his servant, he thought that he only drinks buttermilk made up by this cup, by this leaf. I'll go to the other village and I'll get a bigger leaf and I'll make a bigger cup so that he can drink bigger quantity of buttermilk. So when he came with that bigger quantity of buttermilk, Raghunath Das Goswami asked his disciple, his student, that where have you got this bigger leaf? And he said, such and such village. And he threw the cup and he said, never bring this to me, because that is Chandravali's village. And he is in Radharani's team. So that is transcendental competition which they always had, because these gopis were always taking Krishna away from Radharani to increase their loving relation, their loving pastimes. So that was Raghunath Das Goswami, very powerful acharya. So, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was his disciple, who himself was so great, so amazing, that we'll not talk about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. We can seek the blessings of, at least we can beg for the blessings of all these three powerful personalities, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who showed intense devotion and humility in serving Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna. Vaishnava Acharya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, bro. They have revealed their confidential. He's saying, where is it written that they are Manjaris and Sukadeva Goswami was a parrot? So they themselves have revealed their constitutional positions, and their confidential servants have also revealed that in many cases. We even know Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's eternal relationship with Lord. They are also Manjaris, which are maid servants of Radharani again. So there are books. There is a book called Samadhi, which is there with me, which gives a very brief biography of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it tells what is their position in relationship to the Lord. And it's very simple, you know. If we are there, we are friends here working in this temple, and someone comes from outside, or we go somewhere else, then it's very easy for me to tell about you, who you are actually. You are working such and such place. So these associates of the Lord who are from spiritual world, it's very easy for them to tell and reveal the position of other associate, because they are working with the Lord in the spiritual world. So they themselves reveal, or the associates have revealed their positions, or their own disciples have revealed what their position, or their exact position in relationship to Radha and Krishna is. So if you want any specifics, then it's there. Yes, Prabhuji.
There is a very beautiful Samadhi, Raghunath Das Goswami, Radha Kund.
Yeah, Radha Kund is there. Yeah, Bhajan Kutir, his Samadhi is also there in Chosat Samadhi Mandir also. There are 64 great Samadhis are there. That is a very less visited place. Most of the devotees don't even know that place. But it's near Radha Govind Mandir, which was broken by Aurangzeb, that far end of Vrindavan. Many, many Acharya Samadhi is there in Chosat Samadhi Mandir. Radha Damodar. Radha Damodar, nahi, Radha Govind. Radha Damodar is different. Radha Govind temple, which had many, many floors, and Aurangzeb could see from Delhi or I don't know, wherever his palace was, and he wanted to break that. So he broke many floors of the temple. He was very envious. So near the temple is the Chosat Samadhi Mandir, where many, many samadhis, very many samadhis of many great acharyas are there. Yeah, 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 that's different. Raghunath Das Goswami's Govardhan Shila is in Radhakund, which he was worshipping, which Lord Chaitanya gave him. Okay. Hare Krishna.